Hello, everybody. My name is Lisa Ashton, coming at you for Project 44 Accelerators. Today is December 12th, and our readings covered Acts 24 through 26. Well, as you can see, I am in my governor robe, and we are in the back room of Governor Festus's trial room, where he has all his cases lined up and files and all his government robes. And maybe in one of these files is the letter that he's working on behalf of Paul to Caesar with the bill of charges against him. I don't know. But anyway, as we picked up our reading today, we read about Paul's trial before Felix. And then we read that Felix couldn't make a decision. He really couldn't find anything wrong with Paul. And so what does he decide to do? He decided to be passive. And so he let Paul be under guard in Caesarea for 2 years. And then Felix got doinked, and so then Governor Festus came in and took over rule. And Governor Festus had to decide, what do I do with this guy named Paul? So he went on a little investigative journey to Jerusalem, which, if you remember, is about 60 miles to Jerusalem from Caesarea. And Caesarea is kind of the main headquarters for Roman rule. And when Governor Festus gets to Jerusalem, he talks to the chief priests and to the Jewish leaders, and they're still heated and extremely just dogmatic about wanting to kill Paul. I mean, it's been 2 years, and they haven't missed a beat. They are still wanting to conspire and get rid of Paul. And Festus listens to their case and is trying to decide what to do about that. And he decides he's going to have to go back to Caesarea and talk to Paul after he talked to all these Jewish guys in Jerusalem. And I wonder if some of these guys in Jerusalem are the same guys that said in our reading yesterday, we will not eat until Paul is dead. Because that would have meant they wouldn't have been able to eat for 2 years. So I doubt that they were able to keep to their oath that they gave. But anyway, so Festus goes back to Caesarea. He talks to Paul. And he says, hey, how about we put you back on trial in Jerusalem, Paul? And Festus also has a slew of Jews, like that, a slew of Jews with him that are listening in. And I think he kind of just gives into this peer pressure of wanting to concede to the Jews and put Paul back on trial in Jerusalem. Now, Paul knows he's smart. He's like, his best chance at being able to make it through this and get to Rome is he's going to have to appeal to the Roman justice system. And so what does he do? He pulls his Roman citizen card and he says, hey, because I'm a Roman citizen, I'm able to appeal to Caesar. And so he says, I want to go all the way to Caesar. And Governor Festus says, you want Caesar? To Caesar you will go. To Caesar you will go, to Caesar you will go. Hi-ho the Dario, to Caesar you will go. I wonder if maybe Mother Goose got her inspiration for her nursery rhyme from this line. I don't know. But anyway, so Festus says you can go on to Caesar, and he probably is relieved in a sense because he knows that he is way out of his league to try and judge this case. He really doesn't know what the heck is going on. So he can kind of wipe his hands of responsibility, but the one responsibility he has is to write a bill of charges against Paul. He says, I can't send this guy all the way to Caesar without saying and clarifying what he is convicted of. And so that's where King Agrippa comes in and his sister Bernice. Governor Festus invites King Agrippa and invites Bernice to come give him some insight. Now, King Agrippa is kind of ruling over some Gentile areas north and east of the Sea of Galilee, as well as some territories and cities west of the Sea of Galilee. He has no jurisdiction over Judea or Samaria, but because of some of his knowledge and awareness of Jewish law and custom, Governor Festus thought that it would be helpful to talk to him. So he brings in Agrippa and states his case. Now, I love it as Festus is kind of talking to Agrippa. If I might paraphrase some of what he said, he's like, okay, so King Agrippa, here's the deal. I come into rule as governor. There's this guy that's been in prison for 2 years that Felix held in command. And I really don't know what to do with this guy. Apparently, the Jews are really mad about him. They want to condemn him. Apparently, it's over some religious stuff, and he believes that this guy named Jesus died, and then he's now alive. And I don't know what the truth is, and I don't know how to investigate this, and I don't know how to really appeal to Caesar or what to write as far as charges against him. So can you help me out a little bit? I mean, I can just kind of hear the humor in that. Well, Agrippa agrees to hear Paul out, and he comes in with great pomp and circumstance with his sister, and Paul is able to give his story. In typical Paul fashion, he talks about his life before encountering God, that he was a Pharisee, that he persecuted Christians, that he encountered Jesus, and that it transformed his life, and that he wanted to take the light of God to the Gentiles. So he shares this, and what I love about Paul is he's not always about just sharing information and facts, but he's concerned about the hearts of his listeners, and he's deeply concerned about the heart of King Agrippa, so much so that he calls him to a response. He says, "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." And I don't know about you, but I know if I was in that situation with a king, I probably would be a little leery of point blank just asking him, "Hey, do you believe this or not?" But Paul wasn't, because he believed in the power of a question. And King Agrippa's response of, "Do you think you can persuade me to be a Christian?" You know, could have been done out of fear, or could have been done in jest. We don't know. But I love Paul's answer to it. And he says, in short or long, "I pray that God will not only help you, but all who are listening, be able to become like me, except for my chains." And this exchange is one of my favorite evangelistic exchanges in all of Scripture because of some of the principles that it shares. Why? Well, we see that Paul is kind and respectful to authority, yet he is firm and confident. He brings a question that calls for a response, but yet he places the outcome in the hands of God. He's very open-handed with that. And I think there are some principles here that I take away from it. One is I can be calm and I can be confident and I can be respectful in discussing my faith without having to be defensive. Two, it's important to ask questions that provoke a response when I'm engaging people in gospel conversations. Sometimes it's appropriate to do that. And three, God is the one who draws people's hearts to Him. He is the one that persuades, not me. And my job is to pray for my lost friends and my loved ones, to pray for them and to trust God's perfect timing and drawing him to themselves. So my question for you is, who do you need to pray for today? Who do you need to entrust to God's perfect timing, that he will draw them to himself, whether in short or long, that they could become like Paul was, except for his chains? Well, that's a wrap for our study on Paul today. And that also means that is a wrap on my time with you and our journey of Project 4-4. It has been really fun to study different characters with you. I mean, we got to study about the King David. We got to study about the life of a famous Amos and his part in prophetic history. We got to hear about a dead man raised to life, and just recently now learn a little bit more about the Apostle Paul and the mission that God had called him to take the light of Jesus all the way to Rome. Well, tomorrow we are going to pick up in Acts 27 as he heads off to Rome, and we get to continue to champion Paul as he seems to wreak holy havoc everywhere he goes, all in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, who died, who rose again, so he could give you life and he could give me true life as well. Well, with that, I'm going to say so long, and you pick up tomorrow as Paul heads off to Rome. To Caesar he will go, to Caesar he will go. Hi-ho the Dario, to Caesar he will go. That was my little note here, because I'm actually wearing a choir robe, if you didn't know that. So that is where I am today, in the choir room, to conclude my accelerators with you. All right, take care. Bye-bye.